on this, the 30th of May, the year 2021. Happy birthday, Leslie, my daughter. Oh, my daughter made 50 today. Can you believe it? Oh, can we ever get back to what is normal? Are you kidding me? Maxwell, I need your help. Maxwell, welcome. Welcome to you. thank you for coming to my website today to hear what I have to say about getting back to normal. Will we ever get back to the way it was? Well, if we can get Maxwell to make a number one album like that one was when he first did it, that would be back to normal. But once something is done of genius, you cannot perfect it more than it ever is. Now, this is true not only in philosophy, it's in religion, it's all throughout our solar system, and it's called truth. Thank you for coming to PJ's website. You know what? A lot of times when you think back on what COVID did to us in the last year, it even forced me to get two vaccinations. And here is the holiday weekend that I am experiencing, but I'm kind of like blocked in through the chilly weather outside, the lack of sunshine, and my painters probably will not get at it again until after the holidays are over, so I have spare time on my hands. And that's why I want to ask you, do you want it to get back to what normal was? Number one, I like the idea of when I leave my house on putting on a face mask, because you never know what's out there. So let's deal with the new face mask thing, since I don't know who's saying who can wear them and who can't wear them and where to wear them, since I'm living in this age. And there seems to be in some of our lives a censorship from living in this age. I remember when being gay was censored. That's right. Because I've been a gay man my whole life. I cannot remember a time when I wasn't who I am. But when I think about the advancement of the LGBT community and the advancement of the way we think within that community, which I'm coming to enlightenment every single day of my life, I'm always learning something else. And there's something that can we ever get back to normal again? You guys listen to this. Did you know that my entire adult life, getting married and the kind of jobs I took and everything, was to hide in a system and to survive in that system? Because if I were to speak freely of who and what I believed when I was a younger man, I would not have advanced this far in my life. That's when I came up. Whew. That says a lot, doesn't it? But I want to share something with you about that. That little speech right there. When you live a life of pretense and you choose to live under a system, and that system that I chose to live under was the non-gay system. I was living in a straight society. Can we get back to normal again? Come on. What a subject matter. See, I tricked you into this conversation because I wanted you to listen to what I have to say. Do you ever want to go back to what was normal? Or do you love the life that you're living right now, where you're living right now, and how you're living right now? That's a question that each of us have to answer ourselves. Do we want to go back to what they told us normalcy was, what it was to be normal? Listen, I can hardly wait to see the paint that is on my home, because it is an abnormal color. It isn't your little tan or your brown hue or your nice yellow or even a kind of white or something. No, it's not going to be any of those colors. My house is going to be green. And I want that green to manifest when people look at my house, when they look at me outside of my home. I want them to see a man that isn't, I'm not Zorro. I don't want to be Hopalong Cassidy. I don't want to be Joe Friday. I want to be a Fancy Dan kind of a guy because, you know, I got a green dashiki. And I purchased it from the an Afro Center when I was shopping in Leimert Park a number of years ago. And when I invite people to come to my home for a cocktail, okay? I'm going to wear my green dashiki in my green house. Oh, I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward. The paint supervisor said, hey, John, we won't be able to get by. I said, you guys take your time. I'm not in a hurry. Take your time. They're patching up all the old holes in this old house. You know what? Talking about, can we go back to normalcy again? I remember when my wife of 34 years died and somebody said, oh, John, now you can sell the house and get a condo. No. No, I don't want to go back to normal. I'm living right now. See, going back to normal would be, well, painted gray again. No, talking about gray, it's going to be kind of like outlined in a dark gray. It's kind of like a jungle green with a dark gray. And I'm having this brand new spanking new front fiberglass door put in my home. Oh, I am hot about this. Listen, I've already spoken with Armando, and Armando told me, hey, I'll be by in 2 weeks, and he's bringing a friend, and guess what our discussion is going to be? Our discussion is going to be why it is practical for a man not to think about getting tangled up with females if that female is not working for the same degree or going in the same direction that they're going in. Already, it appears that Ja is setting up the meetings and so that we can have the right kind of discussions instead of the wrong ones. The wrong ones are the kind that won't put money in your pocket. You know, that's what you... Oh, I'm excited. Going back to what's normal. No, if I went back to what's normal, I'd go back to trying to please you at the detriment of my own life. Detriment of my own life. No. I don't give a damn about you unless you know what it is that's going to please you. Now listen to what I just said. I'm not concerned about what pleases you because what pleases you in most cases will never please me. Why? Because I am completely different from you. Now listen, if each person comes to realize this is a true ism in their own lives and begin to live out that true ism, you won't become camouflaged by things that were set there to trip you up in the first place. You didn't hear me, right? I didn't think so. But I won't try to go back to normalcy. See, you thought that when COVID came, your whole life had changed for the worse. No. COVID is the very, you know, there's a little verse in scripture I remember. Jesus said it. Ah, do not let this bother you. These are the beginnings of sorrows. That's right. Because the older you get on this planet, can you believe it? My baby daughter is 50 years old. Wow. My youngest, and I recall in my mind when she was born, the day she was born, because Leslie was a bald-headed baby. Yes. And she looked so pale. I asked the doctor, I said, are you sure that's my baby? And then I looked real close, and saw those lips and that little nose. I remember it. I remember it. I said, wrap my baby up. Going back to normal. This is normal for me. To be 77 years old. Check it out. And to remember my firstborn. I don't have dementia. Praise Jah. I don't have old timers. Oh, praise God. There it is. I will always give homage to him who's given me life. And I will give praise unto him, even with the color of my house, green, life, the atmosphere, protect nature. You know, these millennials have a point. We old people with our industry and everything else and screwed up half the good things that was on the planet. And I'm kind of glad that the weed shops are all over Los Angeles. It's about time that people can get something that'll bring solace to their minds while living in this brick city of decay. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. 16 minutes and 28 seconds already, and you're still here with me. You want to go back to what is called normal? Do you want to do that? Why? Give me one reason to go back to what was normal. Hey, all right, let's talk about pretending, right? Pretending. You know, let's say that you see a person, and I see these people all the time. I see people that I just love to look at. Have you ever met people like that? You just, dang, look at that dude over there. His clothes fits him just right. Look at the way he walks with confidence. That smile. Guess who I'm talking about, people? I'm talking about me. I dig me. And you see, once you dig yourself, you come into more than self-consciousness. You come into a reality. That was the come up here and jump up on my lap. Hardcore, how are you? They heard you when you ran in here. Now run out just as quick. Right. Like you sometimes. Get crazy about you. Don't look out there for, you know, somebody say, oh, who was a par excellence African-American male actor in my day when I came up that I was jealous of because he was handsome as all get out. As a matter of fact, I had dreams about that guy. Of course, it's Sidney Poitier. Back in the day when Sidney and I were young, we were, Sidney was handsome as heck. Now, go back to normalcy? Well, why didn't I pick somebody like, who can I pick? A female that was beautiful back in the day. Not Eartha Kitt. She was too skinny and had a squeaky voice. Let's see. Diane Carroll? Old fogish. I can't think of one. Yes, there was one female artist that I kind of liked a little bit. I just wanted to hug her, and that was Aretha Franklin. But other than that, Sidney Poitier. That was it. Go back to normal? I couldn't even say it back there like that. I was afraid of what it would get me. It would get me people laughing at me, talking about me. You know, if there's one thing that I can say about this American society that I live in today, that I can say it on my own website and say it with confidence, cheer, and glee, that I am different from thee. And thank God for that. That makes me a cool cat. Go back to normalcy? Oh, no. Because if I go back to normalcy, I'm going to have to think like you. And I don't think like you. I think like me. You see, going back to normalcy when you live in America is holding to other people's codes of ethics. Now listen to what I'm talking about, and then you'll understand it. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe he was born somewhere over there around in Israel, around in Bethlehem. I believe that he got here through supernatural means. I believe that. You're not going to change me. You are not going to change me. You are not going to try to tell me to tell you that Jesus Christ is not the God-man, because I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to backfire on reality. See, some of you think that because I'm real and don't want to go back to your normalcy, that I'm stupid. I know who created the world and everything in it, and I'll die believing that, taking my last and my first breath believing it. But you see, I don't believe like you believe. I believe like I believe. How do I know that? Because, now I'm going to really blow some of your minds. I'm going to really make you trip, because I have met the man Jesus Christ twice in my life. Twice he spoke to me. And he said the same thing each time he spoke with me. And what he told me to do is what I'm doing to you right now. And you're listening to it. Since you're listening to it, that validates that he has a purpose for giving me life on this planet. Because he told me to do it, and as long as I do it, people will be hearing it. Aha! But I happen to be me. You see, you can be you and still believe in Jehovah. You can be you and still believe in Allah. You can be you and still believe in God. It has nothing to do with anyone else. Now, if you got a group of people hating you on the side because you think like that and you told them like that, let them be haters in the group that they're in. See? Because when a person comes to themselves, now listen, and this is what I mean. You know what? I got to break off and tell you this. At 22 minutes and 30 seconds into this webcast, I went to a particular church this morning, and a friend of mine was preaching that I taught in my garage for well over 3 years. And my heart was blessed when I saw him preaching on this through this computer that I have in my office. The man had on a robe and he was preaching, and he was preaching from my notes on what I presented in Basics of the Faith so many years ago when I was a pastor holding classes in my garage. And that man was in the pulpit of his church preaching from my notes and exclaiming to the people point by point exact biblical theology all over the internet. And when I thought about what God has done in my life and that I am still producing it, I am saying I am being me. And all of this came from this man that just recently came out because the society had forced him to live a clandestine life, pretending to be something that he was not. And it did not mean that I didn't love my wife, because she was pretending to be what she was not. She was escaping from whatever hell she was living in. And don't we all do that? Oh, my goodness. Listen, if you really want to see a good movie on, I think it's on Amazon, and it's under the LGBT movies. I think it's entitled Why We Are Gay. Yes, Why We Are Gay. And if you see that movie, because I watched that movie today, and I thought that it was just going to be a lame history movie. But then that movie started talking about all the reasons people like me and others in this society were hiding. because it would have been more difficult for me to have two children and to come out gay at 27 or 28 years old and have my wife separate from me and me from her, and then we're going to both try to raise some kids, and I'm coming out gay, all right, after I had babies. Now, you know how ridiculous that would have been? And I'm going to tell you, I was a pastor in the black church. Do you know how many gay men are in the church? All through the church that I pastored. I remember I would go and visit another church. I would be the guest speaker there, and they would have a black pianist or organist there. And next thing I know, this man is looking at me, gaydar. That's what it was. And he's talking and waving at me. I didn't say nothing back. Never did. Never did. I was watching that movie, and the movie was talking about during the 80s when AIDS came out and how thousands of gay people started to drop dead from that disease. And I remember what I was preaching back there. I was preaching to the straights as well as to the gays. Y'all need to stop having all this sex out here. You live longer. And then I thought about my life, and I said, thank you, Jah, that you did not allow me to live a promiscuous life, screwing everybody and having everybody screw me. However, that's called an orgy. No, I wasn't doing those things. Matter of fact, never been in a real orgy in my life. But you can take that to make that mean whatever you want it to mean. Because I live me, you live you. And when you're free, really, you know what? I like the way Jesus put it. For those that are still listening, he said, those that the Son has set free are free indeed. So shall we go back to normalcy? Shall we go back to cloaking ourselves? Why? For the sake, because we've seen everything unravel. Now, let me address, and I think it's very important to address some of my dear, dear, dear acquaintances, and I have quite a few, but I am so looking forward. I tell you what. I know, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, or an earthquake don't tear up Los Angeles, or hurricane don't whip through here, or something, when my house is finished and my patio things, and I buy some new pillows to put back there, and when I have my first croppings of vegetables come up in the garden. See, I'm thinking ahead. I'm dreaming, all right? That's what I'm doing. I'm in this house, and God has given me life, and I'm still doing what God told me to do, irregardless of what anybody thinks. And listen here, I'm saying this. This house is open for people that want to just come by. I got one black and one Hispanic coming by in 2 weeks, and we're going to discuss. I'm trying to convince one man. The other one is already convinced. Instead of him wasting his time trying to find him a wife so he can live in a wifey, husbandy situation to go on with his life, make his money, save some of it, start a business, get on his feet, and bring the black man back into the position that he was destined to be in as a king in his community. And if that woman is really worthy of a king, she would present herself, and I'm just talking from my heart, as a queen. And a queen don't do shabby. And a king don't get, don't let me start doing that. Don't let me start doing it. Thank you for coming to my website. Wait a minute. Did you answer the question? Do we go back to normal? See, I'm not going back to normal, because if I go back to normal, I'm going to be thinking about what you're thinking about. Yeah, I was talking to that preacher that preached, and I was speaking about another young person that I've watched their shenanigans over this computer. And I was asking, would you mind telling me what all this is about? Why is it important to talk to all these people and to answer all these questions about all this stuff when human beings will never agree upon anything? Like I told you twice, the Lord spoke to my heart. Now, I know that because it happened in my head, in my mind, and in my body. I know on whom I believe. Unlike Mr. MacArthur, John, if I can be, real with that, I put him in the same category of a Fred Price. And I'm not talking about anybody, because one person's truth is one person's truth. This is what I say. Listen to what I got to say about this. Oh, this is a good way to put it. Thank you, child, for giving this to me. Reason that I have these strong feelings about people that misrepresent God, blessed be his presence forever. Even Louis Farrakhan knows this. You don't misrepresent God. All right, now let's bring it home. Let's bring it home. Let's bring it home. Are you a true Israelite? Yes, I am a true Israelite, right? Well, you know you cannot misrepresent God, right? Yes, yes. Now, them people over there bringing all that smoke on the Palestinians over there, right? Bringing all that smoke on them Palestinians. Who are those people? What would they call themselves? That's right. They call themselves the people of God. We are the Jews. We are Israel. Is that right? Are they true Israelites? Treating the Palestinians like that when you know what God told Abraham. You remember Ishmael and Hagar, his mother? Well, that's who those Palestinians are over there, with those Jordanians and the rest of them Arabs. What right does the nation Israel, what right do they to perform genocide on the people? And I'm just not talking about the 7 or 8 day war or skirmish that they had. I'm talking about ID cards just to go to work. Why? Because they got terrorists, Hamas. We got some terrorists in our government too. A whole bunch of them. A lot of them wearing police shields. Put their knee on people's neck. We got terrorists here. But I'm glad that in this country we got sense enough to know that we can lock the asses up. And that thus it may be weak. And I admit that it looks like the Constitution, everything that we stood for is weak. But I believe that America and what she really stands for are people like me coming out saying, no, I'm not going back to what's normal. The America that I live in, I'm going to put it like the Apostle Paul put it. I don't look behind me to see where I've been, but I press on towards the mark for the high calling of God, which is in the man's name I mentioned, Christ Jesus. See, I'm not going to get knocked off track by thinking that, well, I don't like the way things are going, so the world is coming to an end. No. Eat healthy, take care of yourself, exercise, give time for God, help as many people as he's given you strength to help if they receive it. And come by and visit me in my greenhouse whenever you can. I thought that was my dog scratching. That's the washing machine spinning. All right, well, that's it. I've had it. I'm not going back to normalcy. And let me answer the question for you. Here it is. Should you go back to what is normal? No. Experience life right where you are. And from this point, everything that you have learned up to this point that is towards your benefit, listen to me, that is towards your benefit to give you a healthier life, a fuller life, a happier life. I'm talking about that brings you pure happiness, joy, and peace. Seek after that. And do that, listen to me and don't misunderstand me. Because when I was speaking with that young man and he said, while I was speaking with you, old man, just a tingly came all over me. Because I told that boy, live, man. Do what it takes for you to live. But realize this, we live in a world of law and order. Now, let me say this. Maybe I'm not going to end before the hour. Let's talk about law and order. First of all, there is a law which comes from God. I also watched another movie. I forget what it was, but it was an Australian movie about when in 1965 the Australians were shooting a rocket, and the projectile, when the rocket fall, would fall hundreds of miles, and they had to go to the area where the rocket was and make sure that all the people were gone. And they found a lost Aborigine tribe in the year 1965, and they made a movie about it. And oh, I guess that was 2009. I just saw the film, and I forget the name of it, but try to see it. It's on Amazon. It is a brilliant film. It will change your mind about everything. And oftentimes I think, and I ask myself, could I have been more than I've become in life if I had gone this way or that way? And then when I think about my health, the way I feel, the way I look, listen to me, the way I think, yeah, right, listen, the way I engage with people of different ages, no, I would not change anything. I did it all correctly. Following God, you will always find that you have done the right thing. When you are following holiness, righteousness. I didn't say some other man's idea of holiness and righteousness. Because I don't ever want to put on football padding and get on the field and play a football game against any man. And I really dig a lot of dudes, but I wouldn't get on the field and play with you like that because you can break my ass up. See? I know me. I know what's good for me. I would never do anything that is ridiculously wrong for me, not consciously. Anyway, hear me out, young men. Never do anything that you can't think of the end of that. I was thinking, how does a man like me and my age, and I ain't got no money coming in, afford to get his house painted? He thinks, he strategizes. That's what he does. Why is he getting his house painted at 77? He may die at 80. That's right, I may die at tomorrow night. But I'm not engaged with thinking about dying. I'm too busy doing what? Living. You get it? You get it? Live, young men. Young women, live. Don't get hooked up with the wrong kind of dude. What you getting with him for? Oh, he looks good on the outside. What? You've seen him naked. Oh, baby, do you know how many of those are running around here? That's not the point. I was looking at that movie about where AIDS, where we came from, where gays come from, or why we are gay, on Amazon. And when it got to the point where it talked about the hundreds and thousands of, when the gay movements and marches and everything, because they were dying, and they were saying that the government should try to find a cure for this because a lot in that community were dying. You know what I said? I said right here in my office, and I said it, you should pay attention to who you're sleeping with then. See, because I never did. I never slept around like that. Never, never, ever, never. No. And it's not because I was, getting my sexual fulfillment in marriage. No. Not at all. I'm not even going to lie about that. I love my wife. I love being with her. But neither of us was, towards each other that way. I just wasn't. I'm a gay man. But I provided for her, loved for her, kept her cars running. Shoot. She fathered my daughters. She was my wife. I was a husband to her, and she was a wife to me. We got married in our family church on a Saturday morning at 9 a.m. I didn't invite anybody, but maybe about 12 people showed up. My daddy was one of them. I have a picture of my daddy. I'll try to find it and put it up on this thing with this webcast today with Lucy standing right next to my daddy. That's my daddy in the church that I end up pastoring in. And what's there now is not the church. The building is no longer there. It's a state of old people condominiums as the old Angeles Funeral Home properties stretched and the church was torn down. The legacy of James Billy Stanley. Shall we go back to normal? No. I'll tell you a story. You won't believe this, but it's true. Johnny Jones, God rest him. There was a time after the Olivet thing blew up that Johnny contacted me and he said, you know what, I can buy that building. And if I bought that building, would you go back in there and preach again? I said, no, Johnny, that time is gone. That's gone, man. Way gone. You know what Johnny told me then? He said, if it's gone, then it's time for me to die because I don't know how I'd live without the joy that I had as a young man coming up there, believing all that. And the system that he was in with me, God rest him. I won't go any further. Those of you that know me and know about my life, you know why I paused. Because I don't want to hurt anybody. See, sometimes when you do things to people that you ought not do, I'm telling you, people, there's a God in heaven. You better hear this, old man. You better hear me. There's a God in heaven. Not sitting at the pastor of that church that you go to. Not that hero that you sent all your money to. And so that he and I got a friend of mine right now this week. He's vacationing in Florida with his family. I know because I went to his church website and he had some guy preaching from his cell phone. When I saw that, I said, that's too much. Wait a minute. The preacher got up behind the pulpit, said that he was preaching from something that he looked at a while back, and then he picked up his cell phone to read the scripture, didn't even have a Bible with him, and he was a visiting preacher to come to preach at another preacher's church. That is what they're doing in church. And these people are so stupid that they don't know they're being pimped. I have never. And so what did I do? I said, wait a minute. I want to have my cup of coffee and my piece of toast. You know what I do every Sunday? I got to hear some preaching. It was before one of my students' church came on, so the only thing that I could do was go to my stacks and put one of my DVDs in when I preach, because I had some of the staff give me a copy of all of my videoed sermons. And I just listened to me preach, and I was listening for me to say something that wouldn't line up to the way I sound now. I didn't hear one thing. I still am sharp in my mind, especially when it comes about theology and God. But you think I want to go back to what normal is? No, I'm going to take this spirit with me in through this new millennium. Now, you can call it, because I've been reading one man's op-ed on Facebook, and he's talking like the end of the world is coming tomorrow. Well, the end of the world comes when each of us dies. So as long as I'm alive, all right, there is no end of the world. Now, let me prove that to you. Okay, here it comes. I'm alive, right? And the end of the world comes, right? Whoop. What's the end of the world if I'm still alive? Huh? I don't get it. And if the end of the world comes, how many is going to be left knowing that they're alive? Listen, are y'all listening? Are you thinking with me? If the end of the world comes, there ain't going to be nobody on the world. So who's going to be on the world to report to you that the end of the world has come? Now, you can run with eschatology. I taught it. I know what it teaches in an era that was indicative of needing an answer for life. What is life all about? Life is all about, listen to me, you coming to the end of your world. Even though some of you may want me to come to the end of mine, but you know that's what I do, is I talk. And I'm just thinking, and I'm just talking, and I'm just passing this talking, thinking, talking thing on to you. Answer the question correctly, and you will know that you must reconsider the way you do your life. Now, you can do your life like that because I believe my friend Johnny told me at dinner one day, I'm tired of it. I can't take it. He said, I hope COVID takes me out. And it did. Took him completely out. The end of my world is not over because there is too much to get done. I'm telling you guys, I got up this morning and I have never felt more alive in my life. I stretch my body. I like to stretch, you know, put my arms over my head and then my legs. I see Hardcore doing that. If I beat him up, I do that. And I'm stretching. I'm pulling everything together. And I look at the muscles are coming back in my arm. And, you know, I think this is what happened. I think I was feeling bad about life about a week and a half ago. I don't know. I was feeling bad about something. And then I just said, take me, Lord. Take me. Take me. Either take me home or take me and feel it. And he tested me because it felt like I was having a heart attack. And I said, I felt that tension in my chest. Take me. And then I told him, but I'm going to do what you told me to do in the midst of you taking me. See what I mean? See what I mean? I stay alive. What are you doing? You wanna go back to normal? Or do you want to go with me where I am? Find God right where you are. Not where that bootleg preacher tell you. All that bootleg preacher can do is give you what God is supposed to be saying to you. That's what my student was doing behind the pulpit in the church that his brother allowed him to preach in. He was merely saying what God wanted the people to hear. And so that people would have a good idea about who God is and what they're here for. That's all religion is for, is to give someone a solace in this life. But anyway, I was just knocked off my feet when the preacher didn't have a Bible in the pulpit. You know what? My pastor, James B. Stanley, taught me years ago. He said, if anybody, young man, ever calls you and asks you to preach, always keep a sermon handy. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at, I think, one of my old sermons. Let me go over here and see if I'm right. Hold on. All right. Yeah, I got something over here. You won't believe this. You will not believe this. Let me put my headset back on because I'm in the studio. There we go. I just picked up. Wow. Do you remember Radio Shack had a dot matrix computer? Well, this outline was done on a Radio Shack, a Tandy computer. They were all the same color, this kind of like off whitish, yellowish looking thing. And I put this together February 2nd, 1992. This was for Sunday morning. See, I'm telling you, I got it in my hands. And most of you weren't even born. Well, the millennials were, The millennials were probably just born a little after. Let's see what this outline says. Urban Crises and Christianity, taken from the headline scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This was for Sunday morning. Yeah, I got time. Y'all listen to this. America's Only Hope by Dr. Tony Evans. I was quoting from a book. This is what Dr. Tony Evans said. He says, the church is a weak and impotent force in society today. It has not defined itself as a group of people through whom God will change the world. The church has not committed itself to being the force that can accomplish God's work in the world. In fact, the church's inability to function as it should can be summed up in its failure to properly respond to crisis authority. That's from chapter 7, page 65, paragraph 1 in Tony Evans' book. And I quoted that statement as I began the sermon. Now, wait a minute. And you know it's true, because if you know what the church looks like today, I didn't lie. Today it looks like a hodgepodge between Mickey Mouse and Daffy Duck, with Porky Pig and Elmer Fudd. All right. I got another quote here by Paul Stromberg Reese. The introduction to the text, The Master Plan of Evangelism. He says, distinctively, the church proclaims the change world as the consequence of change man. Reflective man produces new philosophies. It is only regenerate man that holds the cue to society that is really new, that holds a clue to a society that is really new. And I'm prompted to think that John MacArthur said he can't remember even coming close to Christ in any way. A total contradiction of what he's doing over there at Grace Community Church. See what I mean? You can live a lie all you want. I'm not living no lie. I work for the truth on Jah's behalf. That's it. Then I asked my first question in this thing. This is pretty good. I like reading this. I said, the question facing us in America today as Christians that may live in a minority community is, does our programs of sharing our faith have objectivity and relevance? That was me asking that question. The answer is no, it has neither. And it says, in most of the churches, the answer is a frightening no. It's a worse than a frightening no now. It's a scream for life. And then I have a note to elaborate on the seriousness of a planless mission, because that's what the church has been involved in, a planless mission. Black people would go to Grace Community Church and John's secretary would call me and tell me that they got an African couple that they want to send over here. And I said, well, what are you sending them over here for? Well, we think they would be more happier there. Now, if that ain't racist, I don't know what is. And I'm not lying about it. I ain't lying on nobody. That's what I was told over the phone. Remember? I remember who I was when I lived in the projects as a little boy. So don't talk to me and tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. Wait a minute. Let's keep going. Let's keep going here. Point is, the question facing us in America, I did that. Here's another point. Our focus will be upon the few verses as we confront the issue of our community during this special time in the life of an urban community. And then I read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, and I had a note here, exegete as you continue. Oh, my gosh. If I could find this series, I don't know where it may be somewhere on my website. You know what? I like this so much. What I'm going to do is I am going to try, and I hope you guys hold me to it. I'm going to try to do my next couple of webcasts going through this, and let's see how close we are, and let's see what I do or do not agree with in the Bible, because I got how many pages? This isn't just one sermon. This is, there is no way that I could, no. I have at least 3 weeks of sermons here, all clipped together. This is a masterpiece. Gee whiz, and I typed it on that dot matrix because I remember the paper. You know when you rip it off? I used to buy my computer paper in a box and just put it on the back of that Tandy computer. That's how long I've been doing this. And this is February 2nd, 1992, when I preached it, the morning worship service at the vet. Wow. And so when somebody tells me, you don't know what you're talking about, John, you don't know how to live, you've compromised your faith, you're not really a pastor, you're a phony, you're a fake. No, I'm not going back to what was normal. I'm going to stay where I am right now, because going back to what we call normal was oblivion. And I'm going to reach for the heights. And I hope that you join me next time. We're going to continue with this urban crisis and Christianity. Let's call that revamped, huh? Is that the way to do it? Man, I got 30 seconds. I better get off this thing. God bless you, and thank you for coming to my website.